Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 8, Part B.
In the Old Testament, that word angel is used many times of the second person of the Holy Trinity, of the promised Savior. In Malachi 3, in the last prophecy, the last messianic prophecy we have in the Bible, he is called the messenger of the covenant. The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. And it's clearly a reference to the coming of Christ. And so when it says here, I saw an angel come down out of heaven, I saw a messenger come from heaven who laid hold on the devil and tied him up and threw him into the abyss. I don't know if that reminds any of you of a gospel story that I think you're all familiar with, because I'm sure you've heard it read many times in church, about the Savior casting out a devil, and the Pharisees said he casts out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and then the Savior told a parable. He said, how can you say that I'm casting out devils by Beelzebub? When a strong man, well armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and shall bind him, he shall take away all his armor in which he trusted and divide his spoils. In other words, the Savior compared himself there to a strong man who was stronger than this man who was The Savior compares himself to a strong man who is stronger than the strong man whom he compares to the devil. So there are two strong men involved in that parable. The devil, Beelzebub, and the stronger man who is the Lord Jesus. And in that parable he says that the stronger one will bind the strong man. And that's exactly what you have here. So that I'm convinced in my own mind, although I don't know how I would persuade other people that this, you have to hold this view. I saw an angel, that's the Lord Jesus, coming down out of heaven, and he had the key to the abyss in his hand. And in the first chapter, the Savior had described himself as the one who has the keys of hell and of death, right? So that this fits with everything else, you see, that the book of Revelation says. And we are told in chapter 12 that the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, has lost his power, has been defeated when the blood of the Son of God was shed. Because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And at that, when we discussed that chapter, I called your attention to John chapter 12, where it says, where we are told that Jesus, just before his death, said, now is the judgment of this world, now is the prince of this world cast out. And that took place when the Lord Jesus, by his suffering and death, destroyed the power of the devil over men, just as the first prophecy had said that the seed of the woman was going to come and crush the serpent's head. So all of that, I think, points in this direction, that the angel who comes down with the key of hell in his hand is the Lord Jesus, who takes hold of the devil, the strong man, and binds him and throws him into the abyss so that he cannot deceive the nations anymore. And he does that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's the preaching of the gospel, and which tells us about the blood which was shed for our sins and which frees us then from the power of the devil. And now he is kept then until the 1,000 years come to an end. Now, if it's the preaching of the gospel that keeps the devil in check, Dr. Lenski in his commentary on Revelation says that the devil is chained, but he's like a wild dog, a mad dog that has a certain amount of freedom. I mean, you don't have to get too close to him, or he's going to bite you anyway. See? He's on a chain, but that chain doesn't keep him from hurting those who are not careful to stay far enough away from him. But anyway, the devil is chained until the 1,000 years come to an end, and then he's let loose for a little while, toward the end of the 1,000 years. Now, if the preaching of the gospel is that which keeps him in check, which keeps him chained, then when will he be loose again? Well, when the gospel is not preached. And there again, I think we have an indication that we are living close to the end of the world. When during the days of the Reformation, for example, there was no Christian who doubted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who had died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. That was a doctrine that was taught by the Roman Catholic Church, it was taught by the Lutheran Church, it was taught by the Reformed churches. Now, Calvin, of course, came along and said that Christ died on the cross only for the sins of some people, but he still said that Christ died for the sins of the elect. All Christians all over the world, whether they were Lutheran or Protestant or Catholic, believed that Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. They all believed that Jesus had come into this world to be their Savior of the world by dying for their sins on the cross. They all believed that through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins were paid for. Now they added other doctrines to them that obscured the truth. But on those points, there was no disagreement. The Catholics said, well, beside what Jesus did, you still have to do some good works. And the Calvinists said, well, Jesus didn't do that for everybody. He did it only for the elect. But they all agreed on those basic truths. And that was true up to, our own time, until modern times. We so often talk about the false doctrines that are taught by those various churches, that have been taught by the various Protestant churches, by the Roman Catholic Church, by some segments of Lutheranism. And all of that is true. The false doctrines are like mud that clings to their shoes. But basically, the gospel could be heard in all of those churches to a certain extent. Today, you're going to have a hard time finding any church body in this world, including the Roman Catholic Church and even the Lutheran Church, where all people are agreed, all the members of the church are agreed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Where all the people are agreed that Jesus, by his death on the cross, paid for the sins of the world. In fact, there are churches where it is said that that's an old-fashioned blood religion that no modern man can believe in. Now, the gospel just is disappearing from the world. Also in the Lutheran Church, in Sweden, for example, I just speak of that because I am a little personally acquainted with some of the situation over there. In Sweden, there is not a single theological professor in all of the theological departments of the Swedish universities who accepts the Bible as God's inspired word. Not a one. And yet those are the men who are training the future pastors of the State Church of Sweden. Among the bishops of Sweden, there are 13 bishops in the whole country, and there isn't a single one among those 13 bishops who believes that the Bible is God's truth from beginning to end. Some of those bishops openly deny the virgin birth, they deny the deity of Christ, they deny the vicarious atonement. If you openly confess the doctrine of the vicarious atonement and the deity of Christ and the virgin birth in Sweden, you would not have any chance of being elected as one of the bishops of the state church. Now that's a Lutheran church. And yet the gospel isn't there. When I was in Sweden for the first time in 1972, I attended, I did some lecturing up in northern Sweden, and There were lectures being given for 3 days by conservative Lutheran teachers in Sweden. And I was there to tell them what the Wisconsin Synod taught. And those people came there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they sat until about 9 o'clock at night listening to one lecture after another. They had time out for lunch and for dinner. But they sat all day long listening to lectures, what we would call sermons. And I said to Dr. Erlandson, how can they sit that long? 3 days hand running that way. And he said, well, this is probably the only time in the year when they have a chance to hear the gospel. He said, a lot of those people come from areas in Sweden where there isn't a single congregation where they can go and hear the word of God preached. He says, in our hometown of Uppsala, there isn't a single Lutheran church where you can go and hear about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of men. Now, that's in the Lutheran church, mind you. And we are living in a time when the gospel is not preached anymore. And that's why I think we are living in this period, or very close to that period, when the gospel, there isn't going to be much of the gospel anymore. I've often said that if the Wisconsin Synod ever goes wrong, I don't know where to go anymore. I don't know where else I would go now if the Wisconsin Synod would go wrong as the Missouri Synod went wrong. When the Missouri Synod began to make compromises with false doctrine, then there was always a Wisconsin Synod to go to. But I don't know where else I would go if the Wisconsin Synod would ever lose the gospel in its truth and purity. Because I don't know any place, maybe the small Norwegian Synod, but if we go wrong, they will probably go wrong too. When I was in Sweden, they said, when they talked about the Missouri Synod, and they said, yeah, when the Missouri Synod went wrong, you could go to the Wisconsin Synod. We have no Wisconsin Synod that we can go to. They said, there is no church in Sweden where we can go and hear the gospel and have the gospel in its truth and purity. Now, that's just one country. What's true of Sweden is true of large sections of Germany, of the Lutheran Church in Germany, where the gospel simply has been lost. And it's true of a lot of churches here in America, too, that the gospel is no longer preached, and then the devil's loose. Then the devil can have everything his own way.